Amen. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. I know we've already prayed tonight, but I feel like we ought to just pray again for some of these things. And just also, if you let me take time to just ask the Lord to help me tonight. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to open your word. And just, Lord, I pray that you'd again use me as your messenger boy, God. I'm just here for. I dump myself out, God, and I want you to use me as your vessel again. I pray that you'd take your word and use it to help your people, God, tonight. I pray that those who maybe would be listening and aren't even here in the building would be helped, God. I pray that you'd help all of us in the building, God, to be a better witness for you because of what's said tonight and how it's spoken to their heart. God, I pray for my preacher. I pray you'd be with him. I know that he's not feeling well. I just pray you'd just touch his body, encourage him, God. I pray that you'd just, again, give him a blessing from the word tonight. I pray that you'd also, Lord, I pray you'd be with so many others. I think of Miss Clark. I think of so many others that are on our list. Many, even this brother has a broken leg. I pray you'd be with all these different things that are going to, these surgeries that are upcoming and things we need the doctors to do. This Christmas season, God, so many people, we're such a blessed people to be able to sit in your house tonight and open your word and just to be able to pray together in one accord. God, I pray that you just help us. Help us to be a thankful people and to look for the return of your son. We're thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 16 and verse 1, again, we see some things. Again, I want to remind you, the book is written by Solomon. And again, the wisdom that only God could give. And we call him the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus that walked on planet Earth. And he penned some things down. If there's ever, again, I can't say it enough, I have some sons of my own, and if I ever could get to the place where I got serious with somebody and wanted to really, I mean, again, if those are guys that work around me, you know I like to kid around a little bit and sometimes be facetious, but there'll be times when it's, you know, it's not funny anymore and it's not time to joke around, but I'm trying to instill something. Listen, no, we're not, this ain't, it's not joking time anymore. This is what's real. This is what matters. And I think, you know, if I could say Solomon here, God inspired a book and inspired him to sit down and pen some words to his son that we are still getting benefits from. And again, to be reminded of that, it's for us as believers, you know, we sang a lot about the king tonight. And as the, you know, children of the king, of the, you know, we ought to get a hold of that idea and just take that it's God's word written to us to benefit us, to help us to serve him better, to be what we ought to be. And so in the first verse, a lot of times the Bible has so much to say about the heart. And for you and I, if there was something that I think as Americans, as we have gone through this election, and you know, and I'm still praying for a miracle. I don't know if you are, but I'm still praying for God to show up and to do something that would please me. But I sit in our teachers' meeting tonight. I didn't think at the beginning, I'm just going to be honest with you, I didn't think that God could use Donald Trump. I didn't have that kind of faith. And I realize I have a big God, and God could take this thing, and he could use Joe Biden, of all people, if he really wanted to. If God wanted to take the heart of the king and squeeze it and turn it whichever way he chooses, we got that big of God, folks. Now, that's hard. That's hard for me. I mean, that takes big faith to come out and say, man, I believe God could do that if that's what he wanted to do. And he may be turning it to bring other things and other events into line. And I believe we understand that and we see it. But I know this, if God wanted to use him for his honor and glory and bring people to Jesus Christ, he could do that. And I would have told you, even when I put my mark beside Donald Trump's name, I'm just here to tell you, I did not think that I was going to get what I got when we got him. And I'm just here, I would be tickled, I was getting ready to say pink, but I don't like pink, so I'll be tickled blue or red or whatever color other than pink that you want to say, if we got him again. But I'm here to tell you, you know, I believe this, that a lot of times in our country and where we are, the preparations of our heart are not always from Scripture, not always from the Lord. And here, the king, if I could say it that way, the king, Solomon, is writing to his son. And oftentimes, and I think we could take the setting and realize that when someone kingly stood up and had something to say, that people were hanging on every word. People were listening for words that would come out. It wouldn't be like the words of everybody else that they heard on the street that day, but it'd be something different about the king. it'd be something different about the king's son. And when he spoke, it would be like an oracle. It would be like, oh, and you know, and bells would ring and things would happen behind it. But I hope you understand, as a Christian, when we speak, sometimes when people are watching you from a distance, they expect us. And when you've made it clear that you're not your own, that you're bought with a price, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords left heaven and saved your dying soul, amen, but I mean took and redeemed you back to himself, that people expect to have something different from the King's Son. They expect to hear a different message come out of their mouth. They expect it to be different. And the only way that it's different, folks, it don't happen like this. That change that happened in me, listen, it changed by the renewing of my mind. Day after day, message after message, truth after truth. And as I kept taking it in, do you know that it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks? So here, the preparations of my heart, the Bible is going to say in verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, I said this when I was a youth pastor before I had anything to do with the college. I believe it's important for young people to at least spend a year of their life in a good Bible college, not a Christian college, not a secular college. And I could go on down the road of all those things, but a Bible, let me go farther than that, a independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, devil-hating Baptist college so that they know what they believe, so that they can prepare their heart for the battle to come. There's a lot of people that'll get wishy-washy with you, but listen, I'm here to tell you, I thank God. There are some things that I learned I didn't come as an 18-year-old knucklehead. I was a 30-year-old knucklehead when I showed up here, and they still had to rub the knots off my head and help me learn some things and teach me some things that, because I thought I knew it all when I showed up. Much hadn't changed from 18 to 30. I thought I knew everything. I thought I was going to come teach them everything. Amen? But they taught me some things. Thank the Lord for that. But the preparations of my heart, I'm here to tell you that, you know, there are some things I want it to be when people hear that it's a different message from us. Do you know the world is looking, everybody in the world, even the people, not all the fakes and the frauds and all the people that in behind closed doors marked a ballot for only Joe Biden and never marked another check on any of it. Even the people that cheated us out of the election, if I could say it that way, okay? Not just them, even the people that were duped into putting Joe Biden's name on there, they are without hope tonight. The world seems like there is no hope. And the people that gather inside of this building and other buildings much like it, they know who the real king is. And people are listening and waiting for some hope to be, because again, they may think that, you know, most people, the only reason they voted even the way they did was because they thought they were ushering in peace. That Donald Trump was some instigator and he was pushing against the flow. And listen, ultimately, they're going to find their peace, and they're going to not find it in the Lord Jesus Christ, most of them. They're going to find it in an antichrist to bring in peace. And we know that the church will be gone. But I'm just here to tell you, folks, people need the message of hope from the Lord Jesus Christ more than they ever have. People are looking for that more than they ever have. People realize that the end is near. People all over the times are searching the sky for what meteor is going to take us out. People are looking all around us and say the end can't be far off. Not just saved people that know the Bible, but lost people know that. This thing can't keep spinning on like this forever. And they're looking. Why? Because we need to prepare ourselves. Because there's a time. And listen, even for us, if I can give you that answer that comes from my tongue, we need to be not only prepared and have the things of God in us and get and know what message to give, but be yielded, I think, according to verse 1, to God, you use my lips. God, you use what I say, not the things. And again, we are nothing, but what we pour in has to come out. If we pour in Fox News, that's all we're going to ever talk about, is things that are on there. If we pour in, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, I know people watch all kinds of other things, but I'm just telling you, no matter what we think, if it's fishing, it'll come out of us. If it's football, it'll come out of us. Whatever's being that we're studying and we're giving ourselves to, it cannot help but come out. And more than anything, I want the Lord Jesus. I want His word. I want His hope to come out of me when people listen and are looking for an answer. Verse 2, he says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. We have to realize that every one of us can justify our own way. Do you know that there's two sides to every story? If you could spend a day following around the men that are in leadership around our school, you would find out there are always two sides to every story. And sometimes three, and sometimes four. And I'm just telling you that there's never without controversy. Everybody can justify everything. Well, I only did it because of this, like it makes it right. How many Christians, again, I'm just here to tell you, we could go through it. Well, you know, staying home, Super Bowl Sunday, let's go that. That's far enough off. I think we won't hurt anybody, you know, squash any toes tonight. Amen, Super Bowl Sunday, we could justify, you know, well, I just, you know, I picked up that weight over there, you know. Brother Bird asked me to move them benches up on the stage and for the cantata, and I think it's still tweaked, amen? I think I'll stay out. Them church pews hurt me when I'm in there, amen? And whatever it is, but we could go through all those different things, but if we justify it far enough, and people do that every day, every one of us, we have something. I know people that do it, and I'll go farther. I don't mind hurting your feelings. I know who you are, and preacher will be back. You know, you won't have to listen to me long. But anyway, so just understand, you know, we can do that. People do that. Not only they do that with their finances. They do that with their dress. Well, I know the Bible says that if I expose the thigh, I'm naked. The Bible says that. You know, if you got a King James Bible, it says that. I know they changed it in other versions, but, it, you know, that's the one we believe is perfect. Amen? And so you say, well, Brother Parsons, why are you so stickler about that? Because the Bible says it. Amen. We could make our own way clean in our own eyes. When we deal with clothing, all types of different things, when we deal with our finances, when we deal with our families, the Bible orders and organizes our life. We look to everything else outside of the Word of God to get us organized. We look outside of everything outside of the Word of God to order our family, to order our finances. When the Bible deals with all of those things, we just don't prepare ourselves to be able to give the right answers. So many times we want a quick and easy sit. We want somebody to give us a 5-point lesson on it rather than to search it out for ourselves. Here in the Bible, I really believe our heart needs to be in tune with Him, but also we need to understand that when we get to the place where, you know, and I know, I've been there when I start to realize, hey, I'm starting to justify myself. When I start having to argue for myself to tell you why I did it, do you know, when I know I'm right, I don't have to say anything. Because I know I'm right, and the Lord knows I'm right. When I ain't sure I'm right, I'm in the fight. Amen? I'm ready to argue. I'm ready to throw down. Well, here's why I think this is the way it ought to be, or why it ought to be that way. Amen? I understand. I've been right 2 times. My wife marked it on the calendar 2 times. Amen? But you know what I'm talking about. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. I more than anything, I'm not going to be judged by my own way, the way I interpreted the scripture, but by the Lord, way the Lord wrote it down. Not the way I tried to figure it out or the loopholes I looked for in the tax code. Amen. Whatever it is, I'm just here to tell you, well, I want to be right. Well, what if you're right? And then, and again, Wednesday night, we're looking to have the Lord's Supper. How are you preparing yourself? You got aught with your brother? You got somebody where he thinks he's right and everything's clean in his eyes and everything's clean in your own eyes, but there's a problem between you? That's a problem, folks. I grew up in a church that taught me that I need to get that right before I took the Lord's Supper. That if there was something between me and somebody else that loved the Lord, that we needed to fix that problem. And sometimes I found out when I went to a brother, he had no idea that I had a problem with him. He just needed me to bring it up. And the two of us, before it was over with, are typically asking for each other's forgiveness and weeping about it. Most of the time, we just need to get it straight. In this way, all the time, we oftentimes get ourselves into trouble, but the Lord's going to weigh the thing out, folks. I want to be, as preacher said, I want to be on the safe side of things. Anytime that I'm coming, I'm giving God the benefit of the doubt. And there you, and listen, I may get home to heaven, and where I put it on the bottom side of the knee, maybe he said, you could have gone just right here, about a centimeter up, and you'd have been fine. I will agree with you, and my preacher would tell you, in every way, we're going to deal on the safe side of things. We're going to go where I know this is what the Bible is talking about, not I hope it is. Not I hope when I get to heaven, God put it there. I've never understood my entire life why Christians want to run the edge of everything. I've never understood why we don't want to give God the benefit of the doubt and kick the world to the curb. I've never understood. I mean, that is where the Christian ought to live, and that's where we ought to take a stand. Especially in these trying times, it ought to be more evident and easier to find someone who is a true Bible believer than ever before. But often in times like this, when times get tough and things go hard, we inch towards the world, not the world inching farther away from us, where we stand solid. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know where I'm at, and I know you've stayed the same a long time. But folks, it ain't no time. It's not time to move an inch. It's not time to move a half an inch. It's time to stand on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and to let the chips fall where they may. Because I know who's coming back for me and his church, and all we got to do is stand fast and witness the way we always have until he returns. You say, well, I've been looking for him for a long time. Well, I might not have been looking for him as long as you have, but I think we ought to stand until he gets here. It ain't time to give up now. I'm here to tell you, we've got all this, and commit thy works unto the Lord. If there ever was a time that that's a powerful verse, I want everything I do to, when I was a young man, I thought, whoo, man, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Lord, I've told you this before. Lord, let me get married first. Amen. Don't come today. Let me get married. Lord, let me have children. Then I had teenagers. Lord, come quickly. You've heard the story. You know where you're at. And those of you that have lived through it, you know. Amen. But I mean, we come to this place in the scripture where commit thy works. If there ever was a time when we could see the climate where we ought to commit, where we ought not to just be working with, and I'm not talking, I'm not looking at a church that has idle hands. I'm looking at a working church. If there was a working church in America, then this is that church, and people work and they slave for the Lord Jesus Christ. They give to it. But if anything, there's sometimes we put it on autopilot, and rather than giving it, say, God, I'm committing the works of my hands and to your service, please use it for your honor and glory. Sometimes we just put it on autopilot and keep going. Sometimes we do it without calling out and saying, God, I need you like I always have. God, I need you more than, if there ever was a prayer that ought to come up from God's people in Sunday school, on the bus routes, in the nursery, in every area, in our day school, if there ever was a time that God's people said, God, I can see you're on your way back. God, I need your help more than I ever have. God, I'm going to commit the works of today into thy hands. Please use it for your honor and glory. If there ever was a day that we needed that, it's today. It's tomorrow. It's next year. It's under this president that possibly could get in. We need to beg God to be in our lives. We need to beg the Holy Spirit of God to be working in and through his church and individually through us. Commit thy works. That's what it's talking to the Lord. And the thought shall be established. Have you ever wondered, man, sometimes I heard Brother Knickerbocker say this. And if that's true, you know, he said, I've got, you know, desire, if you want to say it that way, or vision, his thoughts. I got enough for a couple people. Amen. And he said, my wife will say that. I can say that. I've got dreams, folks. I know you got dreams, the things you want to do for the Lord, things I want to see God do through my life and through the church and through your life and through my bus ride and through my Sunday school class. I've got dreams. But none of those things are going to happen unless the power of God is poured in and through my life. I can't do it on my own. This church can't do it without the power of God. We could meet together and we could say prayers and we could give our offering without the power of God and his hand upon the church and upon its members. The church cannot, we do not have power to do it on our own. We must turn over to God. And then my thoughts will be established. All the good things I want to do, when God gets in and I commit my works to Him, He focuses me like an arrow on the one thing He wants to see done. The one person that needs to be won today. Have you ever woke up in the morning and called out to God, God, give me a soul today. God, give me a soul today. And then you know, I mean, you've committed the works of your hands into the Lord and asked Him for that one soul. And then whether it's beside the gas pump or whether it's in McDonald's or wherever it is, I mean, the Holy Spirit of God goes, that's the one. Get them. Sick them. Amen. That's what we ought to be every day. Especially, if it hadn't have been yesterday. I mean, I believe every day ought to be that way, folks. But we can see the climate and we ought to be committing our hands into the Lord. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. I believe we get to this place in the Scripture and we can understand that the Lord, one of the things that we really have trouble with as Americans, and you, those of you that are foreign students, you're having a good time with me getting on the Americans tonight, amen. I'll get on y'all later, okay, Steve? I'll beat that African drum later, amen. But today we're going to get on the Americans, amen. We get to the place so many times where, just like so many people thought everything revolved around the earth for so long, we think everything revolves around us and our time frame and our priorities. And I just want you to know, it's not even the church. It's the Lord Jesus that everything revolves around. The church is in orbit around their Savior. It ought to be about His business, and He ought to always come first. And it trickles all the way through the person seeing Him as everything, and then the family, and then the church. And then, I mean, listen, can we agree here that the Lord hath made all things for Himself? Amen. And get to the place, even for ourselves, that everything that God has made, He wants to get glory out of those things. He sent His Son, and again, our Lord and Savior died on Calvary, paid for our sin debt, not for us. And if it was just for us to redeem us back into Himself, and He didn't want to get any glory out of our lives, He'd have taken us with Him right then and there. But He chose to leave us here. He chose to keep us here to serve Him and to get some things out of each one of us. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know why He chose to use us. As messed up as we are, as much trouble as we bring, He still chose to use us and to bring Himself glory. If we were honest with ourselves, and again, He already brought this up to speed, and I'm not trying to down you. I'll just down me for a while. There's no good in me, folks. I could give all the honor and glory to, my wife who straightened me all that. I could go through all those things, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I start looking at my marriage and my family, all those things, I can look back through our church and I can look through the truths that people taught and the salvation that happened and all the good things that I could look through my life. I owe all of it to the Lord. Every moment, every happy moment of my life of true joy was serving the Lord Jesus Christ and being smack dab in the middle of His will. In the middle of marriage, it's an institution framed up by God. And it's brought me joy because I did it His way and the way He wants it done. My children, my home, and my church, I've always done and strived for my best never to be a part of a dead church, one that's just sitting around waiting for the Lord, but always ones that are after the souls of men. So that I had a place to serve and I could train up my family in the way that they ought to go. I'm just here to tell you, folks, if we don't always and don't realize that, even for those of us that are here tonight, you say, well, you're preaching to the choir. I realize this. I've met enough nominal Christians to know some of you came tonight because you thought it'd be good for your kids because you didn't think you needed it anymore. You ain't got nothing left to learn. And I'm not getting after you tonight, but I'm just here to tell you, He deals with that in a few verses down here. The next verse, what's He say? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. It's a great contrast to what He was talking about earlier and what I see in the verse. Even sometimes in the things of God or how we serve Him, rather than be completely committed to Him, we get puffed up in our service. And that can't bring Him glory. Well, I hold this position. Amen. I'm just here to tell you, I grew up in a church beside my preacher. What I loved more about my preacher than anything else in my home church, I remember a day that the septic tank got stopped up. And some of you may need to close your ears if you can't handle this, all right? But I watched him. Church was going on, okay? Sunday school, they told him the bathrooms were overflowing. People were mopping it up. He said, I know what the problem is. He took me out there. I couldn't have been more than 12. And I went to shoveling with a shovel and dug the lid off the septic tank. And my preacher looked all around for something that would clear that pipe and that little end of thing. And the only thing he found was his hand. Now, that little 12-year-old boy, he could have said, you stick your hand in there and pull that out. I'm the preacher. I got to preach in 15 minutes. I got to stand up and preach in 15 minutes. I shouldn't put my hand in that. My preacher looked at me, and I think he thought about it. And then I watched him say, hold my jacket, son. And he handed me his jacket, and he rolled his sleeve up, and I seen him go, I don't know, halfway up his elbow and pull things out of there that nobody should touch. And he looked at me going, you know, he said, there ain't nothing in here that won't wash off, boy. Amen. He went over to the hose, and he hosed his arm off, washed himself up, and he went back in the pulpit and preached the word of God. People got saved that Sunday morning. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. And I thought, that's a man of God. Now you say, every man of God don't have to do that to be a man of God. You know, but listen, that helped me realize whatever the Lord was going to get glory for out of that day, he had committed his ways unto the Lord. And whatever God needed that day, he was going to do it. Whether it was preaching, driving a bus, digging in the septic tank, whatever it was, whatever was going to bring God honor. And listen, I didn't have that kind of example. There are some men that get too big for their own britches, as he would say. And that means they get puffed up with pride. I'm too good for that. I'm too good for this. I have a position. Folks, every position in the church is servant. Every position. Amen. I really believe this with all my heart. He said, through hand joining hand, he shall not be unpunished. I really believe God, for pride, if we could go all the way back to the first one that bowed up at God and Satan and watch and click off all the people, we could go to Cain, we could go all the way through. God has, I mean, if anybody got a lick over the head for something, it was always pride, being proud. And I'll say this, I learned from my preacher, you're better off humbling yourself than letting God humble you. When you realize that you got puffed up, it's the best time to take care of it is go to God and say, God, forgive me. I'm so dumb. I've gotten so far away from you. Coming back to God and just humbling yourself, you know, God is so good to take care of things. But if you let him, he's just like a good daddy. Amen. I had a boy in my teen class. He loved his hair. And I mean, he spent way too much time combing his hair. Now, I don't have that problem anymore. Amen? So I'm not prideful about my hair. I think you could tell that. But you know, I mean, he had some nice locks. And I mean, he was, and his dad told him, he said, son, you need to quit that. You know, you ain't no boy should be in front of the mirror for 30 minutes. And you know. And I seen him come to church one day. He had a buzz cut. You remember when preacher got that bad haircut a year ago? I mean, it wasn't, I mean, that didn't even get close to this thing. I mean, you know, somebody got him with a lawnmower and clipped it all off. And he come in there, and I could tell, I mean, he had been humble. And I mean, he was a good-sized teenage boy, but I don't think he thought his dad would hold him down like that and cut all that hair off. And my dad was smaller than me, and I didn't. But I knew he'd get me in my sleep. Amen. So I didn't, you know. But he got me anyway down the road. Amen. That was genes. Amen. But I just know for ourselves and for the church, you know, even for you, where you're at tonight, if you've gotten a little bit, you know, too big for your britches, don't let God. Don't turn it over to God and let God bring you down to size. You do it yourself. Come to him. Come to him in prayer and say, God, I'm so sorry I got so far away from you. Hey, those of you that work on our staff, I'll just, you know, I don't know why the Holy Spirit's poking me and prodding me like that. But don't ever get to a place where you think that's somebody else's job. Amen. I've told my guys in the college, and some of you didn't have the privilege of going to college here, and, you know, one day, you know, you'll get all the heavenly knowledge that you would have got here. But one of the things they taught me, and Dr. Heron told me, and I learned from my preacher, you know, I don't consider myself the custodian, okay? That is one of the titles that I do not get to hold. But you're not going to catch Brother Parsons going into the bathroom at the church and leaving there. If there's paper on the floor, it gets picked up. Because this is my church. And that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And my job is not to pick up the paper or to sweep the floor and do those things. But if that needs done, I want to be a servant for the Most High God. And nothing that I'm doing, I'm here to tell you folks, there's nothing that I'm doing on Sunday morning that is so important that I can't stop, kneel down, and pick up the paper, the little shreds of things. You know what I'm talking about. The little pieces that are always there, they're looking bad all around the bathroom. I make it a habit to pick it up. You say, Brother Parsons, why would you do that? That's not your job. Because I'm a member of the church. Because this is my church, and I want it to look right. And I know that it represents Jesus, and I want it to be what it ought to be. And I don't ever want to get to a place where I'm too good to bend over and pick that up. Some of you men, you've been approached to go do security. Don't be too good to be on security. I've been here for, you know, neon years, but, you know, I'm. Don't you know what position I hold in the church? If there's a need, fill it. You know, preacher tells stories, and we don't have that problem in town today, but, you know, there was a time when people got their gas stole out of the tanks in the parking lot, and they went out of church and left without batteries. They had CDs and busted windows and all kinds of, I don't think they were CDs. They're probably cassette tapes back then. Might have been 8-tracks. I don't know. I wasn't born then. Amen? So, but you say, Brother Parsons, what was that about? That's why we have security people, because there's a need. How would you like to be a visitor and come to church and hear the gospel? And the seed's been planted and maybe watered pretty good, and you go to your car and your battery's missing. You're probably not going to say, praise the Lord. That's why we got security people. And in our day and age, we don't know who's going to come for our preacher or for our church or for our building. And we need people to stand up for us. You say, Brother Parsons, choir. Some people think, the choir's always been full. That's because people keep joining it. You know, the worst place to serve in the whole building is in the sound room. Because if you mess up there, you are toast. You get one strike and you are out. Amen. And that's just from Brother Cruz. That ain't even preacher yet. Amen. Let me say this. He says in verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. One of the things I learned, and this may help everybody. I got 2 minutes left, and I'll take three. And so, as we look at the scripture, for some reason, we've kind of gotten this mentality that if I just let something trickle on by and don't let it be dealt with, that's better. Because it doesn't cause any waves. It doesn't cause anybody any harm. We don't get to the bottom of it. Both in our day school, in our college, in the church. Do you know that God has lined up discipline not only for the world with governments, but even in leadership inside our ministries? God is always wanting to take care of business. And the greatest thing is he doesn't lead with truth here. He leads with mercy. And one of the things that we love to give at the college and the day school, if you come forth and tell us the truth, you get mercy first. But if truth comes after, it's hard to give mercy. Say, Brother Parsons, mercy ought to always be there. Well, that's fine. But I'm here to tell you, iniquity is purged. You know what that means, that word purged? It means to get it out, to purify something. I grew up with a pack of teenagers. My teens, I've said it before, and I told you when I went in, they pulled the chair out from under me. I remember as a seventh grader thinking, man, I'm in for a ride here. Them seniors were humdingers, man, when I went. You know, I don't know what a humdinger is, but they were that. And whatever that is, okay, they were that. And I remember going in, they pulled the chair out from under me, and bam, I fell out on the floor. And I laid there on the floor because, you know, if everybody sees it, you have to act like you're hurt. You know what I'm saying? You know, I didn't just spring back up and like nobody saw it, did they? I knew people saw it. So I laid there for a few minutes, and I was thinking to myself, you know, when I'm a senior, my teen group won't be like this. When I'm a senior, won't nobody be pulling chairs out from under seventh graders. I want it to be different. So many times we spend all our time, you know, I could be like, you know, Christians ought to be like that. We ought not be like the rest of the world. Well, I'm like this because they pulled a chair out from under me when I was in seventh grade. Crying about the rest of my life. Do something about it, folks. Let the Lord use you to change things and to do things for His honor and glory. Hear mercy and truth. I just want to know. I had some teenagers that went ahead of me, and I watched some of them, and I can say a group afterwards. And they thought, you know, they just got a lot of things they did when they were in school, both in our Christian school and after they got out. People just let them go. They just patted them on the shoulder, said, that'll be okay. It'll be no trouble. It's all right. Let them go. Until they all ended up in jail. Because they thought, you know, everybody was just going to let them go. And then finally somebody had had enough. And they weren't, I'll be honest, they were not doing something that I thought was the worst thing in the world. But they broke the law out in the world. You know what the world did? Y'all are supposed to be Christians. You're supposed to be different than this. And one of them got real time, and the rest of them got a record, and couple, one of them, you know, I think one of them took all the heat for about two or three of them, so they didn't get as bad of things as they did. But say, Brother Parsons, what are you trying to say? I know this. You're better off dealing with things. In the church needs to be pure, and you got to purge things out of it. You got to have church discipline. And if the church is going to exercise discipline, then the day school ought to exercise discipline. When things are done wrong, you purge it out. You get to the bottom of it. When you deal at the college, when there's sin, you purge it out. That's not just for us, folks. That's not because somebody doesn't like somebody else. It's because the Bible teaches us that, and we could kick it down the road until it really becomes a problem, until they think they're untouchable, until they think, man, you know, I've skated away. I got through all the other things in the past. I'll get through this one too. Didn't use any, but I think some of you have been here long enough, you've seen others that went through even this church and through our school that got things passed over and passed over until it got real bad. And they can do jail time too, amen? That happens. See, Brother Parsons, oh, you're just stretching it so far. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Most of the time when people are corrected, they realize If they got any sense and they're saved, they realize that they didn't sin against the day school or its rule books. They sinned against God and His book. They begin to fear the Lord. God gets a hold of them and tugs on them and say, hey, you're running the wrong direction. You're doing the wrong thing. You need to come back and get right with me. See, Brother Parsons, at Christmas time, we just... this hard thing. Listen, God's word is so good to us. The one great thing about repentance is it's turning. The word itself just means to turn. And all the time, it's because we're heading in the wrong direction. God wants us desperately when we get away from Him to come home. It wasn't until the prodigal realized where he was and he came to himself. And he started to walk through. Man, when I was, can you imagine when you put that father in his house, when we put it in the perspective of the Lord, and he began to think, man, my father's servants have so many things. My father's servants aren't in trouble. My father's servants, and if we could go all the way through it, we could even go here. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I've heard a lot of preachers talk about, you know, if you're not, you know, I've heard them preach, and I'm not sure, and again, I'm not against it. I'm just here to tell you, when they say, boy, you know, if you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to find trouble in this life. Well, the Bible says when your ways please the Lord, He'll even bring your enemies to be. I mean, look at the scripture with me. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You say, Brother Parsons, that's not everybody. I agree. I don't think we're ever going to make Joe Biden happy with us. I don't believe that. Okay, we're never going to bow to the whims of all the crowds that can't figure out what gender they are, and we're never going to come to the place where we say we're just going to let you come and just as you are and leave as you came. And we're not ever going to get to that place. We're going to stand for the book. We're going to stand for what the Bible preaches. But at the same time, I believe that we have an Almighty God who can, when you are doing right, not only, just like Job was. You know, Job had a pretty good life until God pulled the hedge back and let Satan to prove some things, to get glory for himself. You know, the trouble of Job was not for Job. I don't think it was to teach him anything other than for God to get glory out of his life. And if that's the kind of trouble God brings in our life, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm at his disposal, if you would. That's why we've been, you know, everybody thinks we're the unmasked church or the church against masks. No, we're for the Lord. And we're a faithful church that believes that when God wants me, he's coming for me, mask or not. Hey, folks. If there was anything in 2021, as we head towards it, coming into the Christmas season, I would want to enter this year walking as close as I could to the Lord. I would want to repent from any way that's outside of his way and get back to his way and commit my works of 2021 to an almighty God and say, God, use me as your vessel. I don't want to spend another year like 2020. I don't want to spend a year away from you, whatever it was. Whether it was pride, whether it was, you know, maybe you did some things and you thought you could skate by, but God pinned you to the carpet on it and called you on it. Repent of those things and come back to him. You say, Brother Parson, this Wednesday night, you're supposed to be encouraging. It is encouraging to realize we have a God of mercy. That when we turn back to him, he will forgive us of our sins and turn. And listen, and he won't throw us away. The correction is to get us on the straight and narrow and use us again for his honor and glory. Folks, he's so good. He's so merciful. And I believe this. I believe with all my heart, 2021 could be the year that Landmark Baptist Church sees the most souls it's ever seen saved. If we would all commit ourselves to the works of his hand, get after the things of God. I mean, really, think about this, but really, pour ourselves into the scripture. And when people hear the words that come out of our mouth, they're the words of the Lord that come out of our mouth. That's how people are going to come to Christ, folks. And I'll say this. I don't know about you, but I really believe, are we so good that we deserve? Think about what God's given us. No matter what president we get, do we deserve? You know, I mean, we as Americans, we think we deserve this. And we deserve that. God has been gracious to give us our freedom. God has been gracious to give us a place and to set up a constitution. And I know there are many men that God has used throughout the years that we need to be thankful. So many patriots, blood that covered a multitude of other men's sins in this world so that we can have that freedom. But still, God is responsible for the freedom that we have. And he can give it. He can take it. And again, we deserve hell, folks. That's what we really deserve. But it's only by his mercy and grace. And I will say this. No matter what we get, we ought to be thankful to be saved. No matter what comes in 2021, we have a go mission called the Great Commission that God has given us. And it ain't going to change a thing. Doesn't matter what comes in 2021. It'll be the same mission. You say, Brother Parsons, what will be different about 2021 for you? I can tell you this, there will not be another year in the past that I will walk with him. I mean, I've committed myself. There won't be another year that I've been committed this way. I've learned some things this year. How about you? I took a long look in the mirror and said, here's some areas I can be better than I was last year. And I'm going to give it to the Lord.